They asked Jesus this question. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You know, they come to know that when you are great, you have influence. So they came to ask Jesus, "What's the great? What's meant to be great? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who's on the top?" You know, because if you look at the world today, they have all kinds of classifications. Political, economical, religious, even in church order, we have all kinds of cadres. We have lay member, priests, archdeacon, deacon, archdeacon, different kinds of places. Church, we have district overseer, apostles, all kinds of things, bishop, archbishop, they have all kinds of things, trying to just lift up the ladder. But they ask Jesus, "What's the greatest?" So please send us your neighbor. Who's the greatest? Let me ask your neighbor, who's the greatest? Now ask him, me or you? See, let's go to Matthew 20. So something happened. I want to show you in the Matthew 20, verse 20. Who's the greatest? Matthew 20, verse 20. Now this is interesting. The mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons. Kneeling down. See, Zebedee, they were two boys that followed Jesus. They're from the same father. I hope it's not my microphone making noise. Kneeling down, the mother got informed, kneeling down and asking something from him. Now, these two boys had their mother. Those were the two apostles. We know they have their mother. And look at this verse. And he said to her, that's Jesus, "What do you wish? What can I do for you?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." You know, let me give you like this. "Master, I know you are great. You are going to have kingdom that will last forever. Can you make my son minister of defense and minister of finance?" She got the whole country in her hand. You know, when you sit on the right hand, the power, the left hand, money. So Jesus was saying, the woman was saying, "Give my children greatness in your kingdom. Let them be something." Even in the church today, we scramble in church too. We scramble to do things in church. You know, Pastor, you don't have titles here. You don't have all kinds of things over here. Now, are you still with me? I want to be great. You want to be great. So how do we go about greatness? Look at this verse. So Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you are asking for." Give me an NLT. NLT. Jesus answered that by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" Let's be honest here. If you see true greatness, it's costly. True greatness, you know, I mean, prof is over here. He's gone through the ladder. BSc, masters. In fact, Big Mama told him that don't leave UI until you come out with PhD. So you spent all your days in school. And after he finished, he came out of the NYC, went back to, he did that, already became a prof. Now he's a VC. Now, somebody will say, "I like that chair, but there's a bitter cup following it. That's a struggle. That's a lot of stuff. That things you have to do." Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's the price to greatness. Jesus said, "Are you able to drink that cup of suffering I'm going to drink?" These boys are really ambitious. "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." "What is he sign up already? What is he sign up?" Let's keep reading. Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from the bitter cup, my bitter cup. But I have no right, Obasoje, to say who will sit on my right or my left. My father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." You see, they were equating greatness with positions. And that's where we are wrong. Some people, they have financial wizardness. They can just arrive at a lot of money. Some of them have some political wit. And usually it's not their doing, those who are genuine among them. Something has transpired. God has talented and given them ability. And we look at those positions and we think it's greatness. Not really. So these two boys and their mother, confused in their mind, equated greatness to positions. So Reverend Doctor, by the way, let me make you laugh. They offered me honorary doctorate twice. Or thrice, I'm not sure. I refused it. You know why I refused? I got a preaching team over here that worked for their professorship, worked for their BSc, MSc, PhD. They not dashed me one. How can I call myself among them? They went through a bitter cup of suffering. I just been handed over. Now I just trot it out till I'm all right. You know? Yoruba says something. My baby Goli Esianyo. Have you heard before? I don't know if you heard that before. I don't know if you're Yoruba, okay. That means don't put me on a horse that is a cockroach. You mount on cockroach. It's a horse. Both of you are sick. Next verse. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, Jesus called me number one. You know, that is with us. Particularly we Africans, we like title to greatness. So they got mad too. They were just the same thing. They want to go and get their uncle or their auntie or their Pharisees or whatever. But let's go now. What's greatness? Let's keep reading. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. That's why we want to be great. That's why we want to be on the top. So we can have PA upon PA upon PA that can follow us around. And we have a car waiting for us. We have a house waiting for us. We have everything just at our beckoning call. Like somebody told me, when I was the executive director in that company, I don't even pay my salary. Everything is available for me. So you will do everything to see that you kept there. He said, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. They flaunt their authority. I know one man that before he stands up, they must call all his titles. Prophet, remember? Prince, no prince, doctor, PhD. If you don't complete it, you won't get up. Megalomania. So that's the way of the world. Jesus was saying, look, in my camp here, you know, I don't run my kingdom like this. You run your kingdom like that. You look for officialness. You look for the front authority. You want to claim something. I'm the senior pastor here. I remember one of my guys, first time he came to church, he said, I thought you were an usher. He met me. One day I had an experience in church. There was this guy who came to church. He was outside there. By looking at him, and he came for the first time. He didn't know whether to go up or go down. So I met him there, and I shook his hand. I said, hey, this is the way to go. Just go inside here. I didn't know where I was. So he sat down there. And the time came, I entered the service and I began to preach. His eyes went big like this. That can't be the pastor showing me where to walk into church. This is a strange place. Praise God. I mean, you know a pastor by the jacket he wears. I'm wearing a jacket now because they're just rotting away at home. I got them at home plenty. They're just rotting away and then there's AC now. But see, I'm still sweating. My sweating is hereditary. Let's keep reading. But among you, it will be different. Christian people, body of Christ, those who follow Christ, among you, it will be different. Whoever want to be a leader, among you must be your servant. That is Christianity. It's a direct difference from the world system. That's why our government doesn't work. That's why we want to go abroad. Abroad, their grandfathers had imbibed this kind of thought into their head. That's why you see over there, leaders don't seem to be much, but citizens are living good. But in Africa here, leaders are much more bigger, and they collect all the stuff and the... You know, David Cameron, former British Prime Minister, was in the train. And he entered the train. And somebody said, "Ah, Prime Minister, let me stand up for you." He said, "No, sit down. I'm serving you." Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Let's keep reading. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your, not omodo, eru. Ask your neighbor, are you still going to stay in church? Let me throw this at you. Do you know how many of you bring rice to the country to feed people? Can I say, how many of you bring rice to the country? Pastor, wrong question. I don't bring rice in, I eat rice. Now, Dangote worries his head to bring rice in. Thousands of bags or wheat. So who is serving who? Who is the slave? Dangote is the one worrying his head to bring us rice and wheat. We just go down there and buy it and eat it. And we call him the richer person. Let's even look at that system a little bit. So, in our own Christian living and lifestyle, we are slaves. That's the way we become first. We are servant. That's how we become great. Aye. That is the power of Christianity. So, if I am the husband, I am great in the house by serving my family. If I am the CEO of this company, I'm there to serve my employees and customers. Wow! 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 Changes everything. So, example, next verse. And he said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Can I get a handkerchief? You know, when you go to the hotel to eat, this is what you do. Right? Like be what? First course, second course, third course. And that's the fifth course. I've not been eating for this moment. But Jesus said, "When I came to you, I didn't come like this. I came like this." You can come to church and be served all the time. You are not great. You come to church, you are blessed. You are not great. But the greater is the person who said, "Let me serve. Let me do something." Ushers, please stand up. They are greater. They are serving us. Thank you. Are you hearing me? They will usher you to your seat. There was a particular thing I had. There was a full gospel meeting I had years ago. This guy was one of the ushers. His house that he built was hundreds of millions, I think so. I'm not sure of the figure right now, but it's in the hundreds of millions. So he was an usher in church. And one day he was directing people, and one woman just lashed at her. "Leave me alone, I want to sit here. Who are you? What do you have?" He just smiled and said, "Sorry, ma." And walk. That's greatness. You know what? What you will do? You say, "Woman, just let me take you out. Enter my car. Go see my house." You know, this thing about serving. Are you serving at all? You've been coming here for some time. Are you great? You're great by being served. Are you going to serve? That's where greatness is. That's where greatness is. So, can I challenge you as I'm rounding up? Will you serve somebody in church? Let me close with John 1. The first two disciples of Jesus, something happened among them. Oh, by the way, there's a new Sunday school now. I'm the fourth person. There have been three of them. I've lined up for Sunday school too. So today's my day. Pastor, I don't like your topic. You have talked to me.
Pastor, will you talk like this?
I'm talking about greatness. Now, greatness. Tell everybody, I want to be great. I want to be great. But tell them, this slave thing could hear me that. This servant thing could hear me that. I want to be great. Let's go. Come and see what I mean by serving. All right. Are you there? Let's look at this in the Bible. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John 1:35. John 1:35. I'm waiting for you. John 1:35. Okay, computer is having some greatness. Again, the next day, John stood with two of the disciples. What happened next? And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Let's go on. The two disciples heard them speak, and they followed Jesus. What happened next? Then Jesus turned and sent them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" He said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, teacher, "where are you staying?" Two disciples. Next verse. He said, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it's about the 10th hour. So second, let's go on. Okay, go back. Okay. There are two of them, right? One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was who? I think it's my battery. Maybe they didn't change it. Or one of the two who heard John speak following was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Many of you know about Simon Peter. You know about Andrew. Andrew was his brother. Let's give on reading. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," translated the Christ. Next verse. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is the stone. Can you look up everybody over here? You know, these two disciples came to Jesus. Oh, they are going to enjoy Jesus. But Andrew determined to be greater. I won't just come and be served. I won't just come and you know what? The Bible mentioned his name. The other disciples, we never had his name till today. We never knew what happened to him. Because he was only served. He never served. He never stepped out and said, but you know who he invited to Jesus? Who did he invite? His brother. But today, the first man that Jesus called as an apostle was Peter. Now, anywhere you mention Peter in heaven, they will say, came through Andrew. Brother Kennedy invited him to church. He said, "Oh boy, let's go. Let's go to church." He said, "Eh, where? Where they were going, they were tired, where they were going." So he said, "No, they play case there, contemporary music." You know, so he said, "Oh, I like music." And he came. Now just imagine Prof never served him. Where will he be today? We can't tell. You know, as I round up, you know why you don't see our signboard in town and see all kinds of stuff? I'm not against it. It's okay. One of these days we will do one around your house. We do handbills, but bills are useless without the hand behind it. The best credibility for any God's work is somebody else opening his mouth, not just signboard. How many here? Somebody invited you here. Can I see your hands up? Somebody, come around. Can I see your hands up? Can I see your hands? Please, I'm waiting for you. Anybody else here? That person that brought you over here served in a greater dimension. So you can see Andrew here serving. So what are you going to do? Are you going to be served? Oh yeah, we should be served. Because if I don't eat myself, I can't share the food. So let's start thinking like this. Greatness is in becoming servant. In fact, I close with this one. I don't have the verse with me now. He said, the person who wants to be your greatest must be your youngest. So I find out how to stay younger all your life. Pastor, you don't grow old. Because the more I serve, the younger I get. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes? Can we say, Lord, I want to serve too. Help me to have This mindset, help me. Help me to take your own way of greatness. Help me to yield to you. Not just claiming authority to use it in home, in my home, in my workplace, in church, but help me to become great by serving. Lord, teach me how to serve. Show me how to serve and help me to live this way. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Thank you for coming. Before I call Sister Mboji to come and read, this turned my life around, to be honest with you. This turned my life around to just want to serve my children, my grandchildren. Today, one of my last granddaughter, my last grandson, today is his birthday. Tomorrow is my daughter's birthday. I want to serve them. I want to serve people. I want to serve both great and small. I want to be a blessing all my life. If your pencil fall down, I want to pick it for you. That's for me service. That's for me greatness. Hallelujah. And there's blessing there. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's clap our hands as we welcome Sister Mboji. Today, what are we reading? Healing or love? Healing. All right, great. Okay, you have your own. See.
Getting past the invisible wall. The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 18, verse 15. After God healed me of allergies, I went through a real struggle the next time I needed healing. The thought came to me, yeah, God's able to heal me, but is he willing? I bet you know what that voice in your mind sounds like. So the next time I prayed for healing, I said, Lord, I sure would like you to heal me if you really want to. But I wasn't healed, and I couldn't figure out why. I prayed again, Lord, here I am. You did it last time. Why don't you do it this time? I didn't understand that I'd hit an invisible wall, because although I knew God was able to heal, I still didn't know he was willing. Then came the thought, maybe God wants me sick for a purpose. I didn't get that thought from a church or a book. It came straight from the source of doubt and unbelief. That thought came to my mind and took root. For years, I had trouble getting rid of that wrong thinking. Yet, that's the point most Christians have reached in their spiritual walk. They know God is able, but they aren't sure he's willing. The truth is, your faith will never operate beyond your knowledge of God's will. So, root out wrong thinking. Study God's word until you know it's God's will to heal everyone. Then, take God at his word for your healing. Confession. Let's do it together. My Father wants me well. I root out every thought otherwise. God sent his word to heal me, and I take him at his word.
Okay, praise God. My mic is back. Okay, all right. Let's do this. I got some testimony I want to read to you. And I think she will encourage you. I got it through the week from a sister in church. And I just want you to listen to this. We did something last week, which we... You know, I believe God wants to be involved in all our lives. Last Sunday, in the first service, I started talking about the covenant names of God. Okay. The covenant names of God. And I talked about the contractual name that, you know, like now, you get a name like a doctor. We know that you have taken a oath that anybody who is brought in to be sick, you take care of them. You also, a lawyer, you go to Abuja and announce that you're a lawyer. You take an oath that you take legal case and do all that. That's who you are. So we saw the names of God, which is a compound name. Like we said, Dr. Ayo, Barrister Joy. So God takes a compound name, Jehovah. And the first one was Jehovah Jireh. I take care of you. I sworn, I take care of you. Praise God. So I was talking about that, and I talked about Abraham taking his only son. God said, offer him to me, and replace it with... And this sister was in the service, and then this is her experience. Permit me to read a little bit. I needed some money for my niece's wedding. That niece had lost the father and the mother, so she would have to be responsible. Now, my salary was mistakenly deducted by our cooperative and was told they would give me a refund when they received deduction, only for them to tell me it has to be next month before I would be refunded, and the wedding is this month. I came to church last Sunday with a troubled mind, thinking how and where to get the money from. And I don't want to borrow any money again because I'd already borrowed some amount. She was in the first service. So while Brother Kende was preaching in the first service, I just made up my mind that when things happen in the service, you maybe just finish fighting your wife, you come to church. I don't know. They'll be thinking, and I hope God will just help you to see things right. So I just made up my mind that when I get home that day, I'm going to take out some time to really pray about it. So I wrote it down at the back of my church jotter so as not to forget. Then I just remember I have some money in the bank. It occurred to me that if I can get the money, it will be of help. Sir, I have tried several times to get this money, but I couldn't. There was even a time they told me to go and do affidavit. I did it, and yet did not get the money. So I just left it there. So I decided to go and get the money. Then this thought now came. If you withdraw the money, that means you won't have any more kept anywhere anymore. This is your last where you put some savings. Then, listen, go to the service. Then you came up that day, sir, and started sharing the testimony of that man that had 1 million lira in the savings that God told you to use for something. He also told us when you had to use your children's school fees for something and God gave you back. Sir, it was too awesome for me. I know this God talked nicely to me. So, listen, the very next day, I went to the bank and I prayed, telling God to help me the money, to help me get the money out that day. Sir, I received the alert. You know, when you were about to spend the money for yourself, it didn't come out. But why not? Now, that was first service. She stayed for second service. Double dosage won't help, won't destroy you. This is the miracle number one. Then the second service, sir, you ask people to have debt to write their name, their month, and come out to drop it. You know, I just got up last Sunday by the Spirit of God. And I said, let's take care. If God can take your offering, why can't He take your debt too? Remember that? And yesterday was my birthday. Among the people that greeted me for my birthday, asked me to send my account details. I did. Now listen, and the amount he sent covered the money I borrow and the money I withdraw from the bank. You know, it's not just about the money, it's about God at work. I never told that person anything about anything. He just wanted to bless me. Then she said, in rounding up, sir, I cannot imagine if I was not in church on that day. This is receiving help from God's sanctuary. Praise God. You know, I've always said that I'm not interested in having ministry. I just want your progress and your joy of faith. That's all I want. I just want God to touch your life. That's all I want. I don't want to have a big name or anything. I'm just interested. I'm okay. I'm a simple person. I leave my house wearing my shorts. All right. Praise God. You got something? Out of that? Okay, let's spend a few minutes. Talk about life's questions. Let's talk about life's questions. Some of you have questions in your heart. Let's talk about that today. Life's questions. You know, questions abound around us today. In the Bible, we have people asking God questions. For instance, God, you know, Abraham asked God, will God, the judge of the earth, do what is wrong? One guy in the book says, will you forget us forever? So people ask questions. Somebody say, Kabio, see, I'm a B. I'm a B. Because Onlo Dawa, Onlo Fiwasi Bibai, Onlo Kwewa. So we must ask questions. God is not terrified by question. Only those who don't have the answers are terrified. When you see a good teacher, he will enter the class and say, ask me any question from any angle. But those bad teachers who don't know what they are doing, they say, shut up! In fact, they just come around, dictate the notes. Have you been there before? I was in a class called Pharmacognosy. I can't even call the name. Pharmacognosy. That teacher would just walk into the class and start delivering from his memory. Beta blockers are, you start writing notes. I hated the class today. He write, and then won't ask any question because then we all march out. But there was another one. So for long, taught us physiology. The guy was so good. He would teach. Remember, taught you too. Taught. And one day, at the end of our session, he came to the class to summarize the whole course in 1 hour. When he finished, we all got up and started clapping for him. So if God actually is God, he should answer our life's questions. Should we do that? Number one, let's ask this one. Why God is not answering my prayer? How many of you via God has answered all your prayers? Can I see your hands up? Oh, this applies to you too. In fact, there is a particular psalm that dealt with that. Psalm 70 verse 1. Take a look. Quickly. We're looking at last question. If we take two or three today, if possible, we'll see what we can do. Make haste, oh God! Deliver me. Make haste! I mean, this guy, give us an NLT. You know, the book of Psalms is very real. Just get down on it. Please, God, rescue me. Come quickly. Give us the last verse, Psalm 70. But as for me, I'm poor and needy. Please hurry to my aid. Oh God, you are my helper and my savior. Oh Lord, don't delay. In Sunday school, don't talk like that. But in real life, we talk like that. Now, can I help you? I got born again about 44 years ago. I'm not exaggerating. I've spent my whole life finding out about God and His Word, what He has to say to me personally and to tell others. I'm not in the ministry like other people that are professionals or that they are just. I've determined that if God has any answer, it's in this book and it can help us. And I have this answer I want to give you at three levels today. It's not the whole answer, but I'm going to give you this. Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. Why is God not sometimes answering my prayer? Let's look at them. We look at three. Number one, for as surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Next verse. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Next verse. And when you stand praying, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Everybody, listen to this. Through my learning from God and taking time to be with God and learning how to live the Christian life, I came to see that some prayers are not answered, not because God doesn't want to answer it, but you have to do something about it. Hello, somebody here. Hello, somebody here. Are you here? Are you here? I need your attention here now. Let me give you a scenario in the Bible. God asked Israel to leave Egypt. And he guided them to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea, I mean, what kind of God is that? Are we here, everybody? I mean, your enemy is chasing you. And he said, Moses, turn toward the sea. And these are young people, old people, elderly, young people, they don't have boats. And God said, go toward the Red Sea. And then God went and tapped Pharaoh. Oh yeah, chased them. What kind of God is that? Except we know who he is, he should go to jail. So he told Moses, I want to get glory out of Pharaoh. So move you there and he will think he has gotten you and I'll show him my true color. Can I say this to you? Life sometimes will waylay you. Things will happen in life. I say, where is God? It's as if God took you there. What will you do? Now listen very carefully. When they got down there, they got toward the Red Sea. They were facing the sea and they saw the Pharaoh coming behind. Man, they just went apart. God, we have not asked for this. We didn't come here to be killed. We will have stayed back in Egypt. Blah, 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 blah. Then the pastor gave the counsel. Moses said, stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Remember? Remember? Remember that? Now wait. Your enemy is moving behind you. You are standing still. What will happen very, very soon? So Moses said, God, you know what God said? Let me not read it. Let me not see it. Let's read it. Exodus 14. Answering prayer. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Exodus 14. Let me get my Bible quickly. Sorry, forgive me. I'm opening. I don't use tablets. Okay. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And the Lord said to me, to Moses, why do you cry to me? Kalamakwe. Who brought us here? Tell the children of Israel to go to where? What is forward? What's forward? See. Say, tell them to go forward. What kind of God is this? You brought us to this trap. You told us to move over here. We got over here. You said we should move forward. This is mass suicide. Now look at next verse. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. Go back to Mark 11 again. We just read. We read verse 23, verse 24, verse 25. Give us quickly Mark 11. Verse 23 first. You know, he said, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart. Beloved, those things say, be done, have whatever it says. You know, there's nothing about God in that verse. It's you and the mountain. And talking to the mountain. Next verse says, and when you pray, but the first verse is, talk to the mountains. See, a lot of time in my 44 years as a Christian, I'm going to have to get up and talk to things. I learned it from Jesus. One time they were on the sea and there was a terrible storm. And disciples were using apostolic bucket to pack water out. Then they said, Lord, don't you care we are perishing? Don't you care, Lord? What's really going on here? We've been talking to you. You're not doing anything about it. Wake up now. And when Jesus got up, you know what? He never fell on his knees and said, Baba, emofiwale, eratiwa, enyelansi, enyelambo. No! He stood up and said, peace, rebuke the wind and the storm. A lot of time when you're telling God, I don't know, face that thing yourself and use your authority in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, I read the Bible. That's my problem. I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I never seen Jesus praying during the day. He prayed in the night. But during the day, he'll speak, get up, take up, go home, go, ga, ba. This will do. You talk to things. It's easier to talk to God. And God said, you talk to it. So if you are not getting your prayer answered, start talking to things. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Start. Once in a while, sometimes I get discouraged, I get depressed, and I Pastor, you do? I do, of course. And I say, God, please, will you just help me? Will you just do something? Will you just, God, you know, this is difficult. I'm not going to get the money. I'm not going to, this kid. Then, once in a while, I learned that as I grown up to be better now. I just get up and say, no, depression, I'm not having you. God's going to help me here. I'm going to see the glory of God, the land of the living, goodness of God. And just, you know, pa, 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 pa. I can walk out, sir. Then I saw this. Brother Ile, can I have you? Can I have you? Brother Peter, can I have you? Okay, Brother Peter, come. Brother Peter, you can sit down. Let me show you. Stay over here on this side. Stay over here. Stay over here. I'm doing a drama. This is God. This is the devil. Drama. His name is Brother Peter. Brother Peter, Nick, is the devil. It's drama. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three shall the matter be established. Are you hearing me? So, if the devil is saying something about my life, and God is saying something about my life, there are only one witness. Are you hearing me? I have the card that choose. When I hear God and I hear the devil, they both, they have sovereignty to do anything anywhere else. But in my life, they have given me my own choice to in my life. So if I don't make up my mind and choose each that side, I will not get anything. Or this is a default. The devil will have me. But when I open my mouth and say, I agree with God. God says so. I believe that. And the devil, you are a liar. You're going to go. Something happened. Two of us are joined together now. Let me surprise you. Thank you. You can go to your seat. I'm emphasizing this. Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? There was a story in the Bible about the valley of dry bones. What do I call it? The valley of dry bones. See, many of you over here, you have this thing just, Oluwa, Oluwa, Emma, see where come you. You want to see from right. You know, I'll tell you what I mean by that. God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, God, you know. Then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to this bone, say to this bone. And God spoke to the bones. But nothing happened. When Ezekiel picked up the word from God and started speaking it to the bones, bones started coming alive. And they came alive to a point there was no breath in them. Then he looked at God. God, come and see breath. God said, speak again and call for breath. But God was there. Why not do something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that woman. 12 years she has been sick. She's prayed. 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 One day she said, I'll go out. If I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. In my experience, I don't know about others, so in my 44 years of being a Christian, when I get up like that, God seems to get up. Something happened to us sometimes ago. When I said, yeah, no, I refuse to worry about that. I'm more than conqueror. And I told myself, this is difficult now. Why are you talking like that? I said, I better do, or else I'm going nowhere. So, today our time is gone, really. Why? Sometimes you pray to God doesn't seem to answer. We've dealt with this one. Let's go to the next. Okay, this verse now. Therefore, I said to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, another reason why God seems not to answer you is that you don't believe. You don't really believe. You are praying, but you don't really believe. That's why when God does it, you are shocked. Ah, Oluwa must say, ah, oh God. Hey, But you know, really, like one woman, she was praying, and then nothing happened. She said, just as I expected. I know God will not do anything. He doesn't answer me. Now, you know, I went to the ministry by myself, serving the Lord, and I have issues at home, life. And I asked myself, how will I get God to hear me over this matter? Then I saw this verse. Whatever things you ask, this from the mouth of Jesus. Whatever things you ask when you pray, do what? Do what? Let me show you something that I had to think about years ago. Where's my stick? Is it there? Let me check my stick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I'm the kind of person who goes home and open my Bible and waste my time on the Bible, finding answers, looking for answers. You know, years ago, I got friends who are fathers in the Lord. Are you hearing me? I do too. But you know what? One time, one of them had a problem. They put him in the car to go and see the Father in the Lord. That one had traveled. So I determined that I will love my Father in the Lord, but I will not look up to them to help me out. Rather, I will look to my Heavenly Father. You hear me? So I pick up my Bible to see what God has to say to me. And one day I was thinking, Lord, why is not answering my prayer? He just showed me this. He said, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I have a problem. I used to confuse receiving and having. Abishna, he said, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is what I want. I want to have it. But I saw that was you will. That's what? That is future tense, right? Then he said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So I started struggling. What is receiving and what is having? Then it dawned on me that receiving and receipt, they are the same thing. Just noun and verb. You know receipt? Anybody, you have a receipt in your bag over a receipt or something? Can I see receipt? Anybody receipt? Woman, you have things in your bag. Receipt of the house, of the land. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yeah, it's receipt. Now, I shouldn't read this one out. Can I say it? Oh, thank you, sir. It's a receipt of Lexus Jeep. I think so. Look at it. Now, this is not Lexus Jeep. This is the receipt. But this receipt gives you ownership to that Lexus Jeep. If policemen stop you, they say, who is the owner of this car? I am. They will say, who are the I am? I mean, you can be sure that car will sleep a police station. But the moment you enter into your box and say, sir, officer, this is it. Oh, you can drive off. So the Lord said, you have to collect the receipt of what you are asking for before you get it. I said, huh? Huh? Yoruba so pe, bagbo pe etiri won gba na. I said, Lord, I cannot do that. And I really found out that I didn't trust God enough. You see, the moment they gave you this receipt, the car will come. Am I right? The car will come. I was in the church this morning before I came to church. So they asked me to say something. So I got up to say, and I was talking about this too. I was a boy in the village. So I went to go and see my uncle, the lawyer, remember him, in Lagos. So he wanted to buy something at VI or Lagos Island. So I should follow him. So we went down there in my village. We buy things like this. Emwa, so niye, mulake, owori, agba. But we went to this shop and we saw the thing displayed on the shelf. And I said, Uncle, okay, he said that one, we'll pay. And why? They said we should pay. Okay, so we started paying. And when we finished paying, I said, Uncle, he said they're not giving us air. I said, what? It's our own. I said, no, that one is for show. The written is in the warehouse. I was watching him. He said, so they gave us receipt and they asked us to go to the warehouse. So we marched down with the receipt and we went down there. When we got down there, they said, what do you want? We said, we have these goods. And he said, show us the receipt. If we never show the receipt, we will never. So I noticed something. When you come to God to pray for something, you have to take the receipt. Ownership. I take it as my own. I take it as my own. Now, I've not seen it yet. I've not seen it yet. Concerning my children. Concerning my wife. For instance, let me give you an example. You are traveling to Kaduna. Abuja to Kaduna. You know, some of you don't know. Kidnappers are there, right? 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 So you pray, Father, I have to go. Okay, Father, I pray for safe journey in the name of Jesus. When you finish praying, what do you do? Oluwa, anything you. When you get out of Abuja, Jesus, and Lord, you don't have the receipt. That moment when you pray, take hold of your safety. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes my wife and children, they will travel in the same car. A man will say, hey, well, I really think about Sele. I'm like you too. Pastor, you heard that thought too. I do. I don't go to heaven Sunday and come back next Sunday. I live in this world. So what I do, I just stop. Like the first time my daughter, the first one, took a car from Lagos coming to Abeokuta without telling us. That never done before. My wife asked, where are you? Said, on the express. Who is with you? Nobody. Where are you going? I'm coming home to Abeokuta. Yay! My wife told me, I said, what? Then that moment I stopped. I said, Lord, I better collect receipts. I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I cannot be there. I'm not there. I won't tell her what to do. If I call her on the phone, she'll be distracted and have an accident. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bring her safe back home. In Jesus' name, take the receipt. She's coming back home safe. As I stop like that, I'm like you too. After 5 minutes, Mulowa, Rosagami, Johnson, Rolambeo, stop. No, 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 no. Father, I receive our safety. I receive our safety. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I can focus on what I need to do. Same thing I have to do. Other things, you just stand over there. You just claim that. And just receive it. And just receive it. And just receive it. God sometimes had to change your name. For instance, Abraham's name was from Abraham to Abraham. So that he can put receipt into his name. Are you following me here? When you do that, you are, Pastor, I don't have to do that. James 1, I close with this on that area. Our time is really spent. We're taking only one question yet. James 1, verse 6. Take a look. But let him ask in faith. Look up here. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Oh, when you ask in faith. Don't doubt. Pastor, I'm a doubt there now. Oh, my loser, there. Only make it there only. Look at next verse. I love this one. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I don't have the Bible. Why? Next verse. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Praise God. Now, the last reason why we don't get answers in prayer. I'll tell you this one. Listen, everybody, carefully. Thank you, sir. Listen, everybody, carefully. When you are asking something from God, it takes your hand to be open to take it. And if your hands are full, you can't have it. Listen to me. I'm closing with this one. When you are praying for, let's, come, my brother, singer. Yeah, come. Come with your Bible. Come with your book. Big Bible. Now, wait. I want to ask this Bible from him. I have to have my hand empty. Now, if I have this in my hand, give me the Bible. What will happen? What will he say? Reverend, there might be no empty your way first. Now, there's something you have. If you have it, your prayer won't be answered in your hand. Back to Mark 11:25. Let's go. Thank you. Mark 11:25. You're looking at life issues. And whenever you start praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. See that word? If you have anything against anyone, if you look at the verse before, look at the verse before, toward the end, and you will have them. You see that? What you are praying for. But if you are asking that you will have them, and you have something against someone, your hands are full. Anytime you can't find what's really wrong with your prayer life, check your area of forgiveness. I've seen over the years as a believer, as a Christian, that if you don't forgive, your hands are closed. You see, when somebody offends me, I hold them in my mind. Every time I see them, I grab them in my heart. When I remember their name, something. So I'm not free enough to receive from God. Pastor, you don't know what they did. For the sake of your receiving from God, forgive. I was talking this morning where I went. I said, you know, those my younger days, my wife offends me. I talk. I grew older. When she offends me, I talk. When I grew older, I talk. I grew older, I talk. I grew older, I stopped talking, I start thinking. So she will offend me, I just be in my head. Like, can you come about? So now, I know what to do. Because that thing was wasting my time. So I do what? I just forgive. In fact, I have given her all the forgiveness we need all our life. I've signed the receipt already so that my hands can be free. That's what Jesus did for us. He had given us all the forgiveness we ever need for life. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? He shed his blood. So no matter what you can do against Christ, if you come confessing your sin, forgive me. Sometimes my wife will offend me now. She didn't even know she offended me. I just, hallelujah. And she won't sit on my face, and she won't sit on my character. I told myself, oh boy, won't die by all. Won't change, you won't okay. I thought you were reading my bow before. Oh, well, I can't do oh boy. But now, just for the sake of my hands empty, so I can receive more from God. You got that issue? You got that? Is it clear? Do we get that? Tell your neighbor, learn to speak. Take authority over things. Second, collect the receipts. Oh, Father, I believe I receive it. Oh, can you imagine? I saw this last week. Maybe we stop here. I'll read one more, and then we stop. One more question. Last week, I saw this in my Bible. Shocked me. But not too much shocking, but it's true. Jesus was told, Lazarus is sick. Are you hearing me? Are you here? And he said, this sickness is not unto death. And what happened to Lazarus? Died. And when they told Jesus, he stayed back 2 more days. So the guy died for 4 days. And Jesus came to the throne, to the tomb. And he said, remove the stone. Now, this is what shocked me most. Now, the guy is dead. You know what he did? He stood by the tomb and said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Did you hear that? Imagine you pray for certain thing to happen. It didn't happen. What do you say next? Oluwa. He said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Then he stepped back. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Commanding with believing, always get the job done. Praise God, somebody. Did you see that? I thank you have heard me. And you've been many lives crossroads that you look as if God has not answered your prayer. You go for an interview. You go for an interview. You are praying. You believe God. promotion. And you get down there and they say, no, we are not giving it to you. As you step out of that place, say, oh, I thank you because you have had me. And in the name of Jesus, I'll get a better job. Praise God, somebody. I'm promoted. Now, you leave that alone. Let me take you back to years ago when I was learning this thing. I want to help you today because this is important for our life. You see, when you see God in your life, it makes you happier. Anybody like me? I mean, when you see God do things, years ago, it was around those earlier days. That time, it was $1 to 10 naira. Huh? In this country, Benny, it's what? $1 to 10 naira. I told you before now. I needed some money at the beginning of December. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I needed this money. I needed this money. About 1,000 naira. That's a lot of money that time. I was in the ministry starting out. Don't have any stable source of income. And it was December around 11 or 12. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this money. You know I need this money. Please help me out. And I believe I receive it. I claim it's my own in the name of Jesus. And I said to myself, because that money, not before Christmas time. Before Christmas time, I want to get. I said, before Christmas time, I'll get this money. It's my own in Jesus' name. You know what? 23rd came. 24th came. 25th. Big boy. 26th, Boxing Day, I felt boxed all over. How am I going to get this money? But you know what? Something rose up in me and said, I believe it's my own. The devil said, you are going mad now. Before Christmas. I said, I believe it's my own. I receive it in Jesus' name. Now, God is my witness. If you think I'm telling a lie, when you get to heaven, ask God. They open the book and show you what I'm talking about. You know, so 31st came, no money. January 10, January 15, around 20-something, I'm not sure now, I went to Lagos, opened my poster box at Surulere. When I opened it, I saw an envelope from my friend, Pastor Koride. Remember him? In America, from Tulsa. I opened the thing. I saw one brooch. I don't wear a brooch. Drop it down. And I saw $100 attached. Send around December 13 or something or 14. Let me tell you some other ones. I've told you the good ones, the bad ones. Sometimes I pray for something and I give up on God. God, I lay you down now. Can you believe it? And once in a while, God will beat me. When I'm doubting like that, I'm making noise. God will say, so turn, have you been there before?
Yes, sir.
Then I can't feel like collecting it. Anybody like me? I feel so sad that I doubted my father. So stop doubting your father. Close your eyes and say, Father, I believe you. In all life situations, I will rely on you. You are my father. You care about me. Can you clap your hands for Jehovah God? Now, let me close. I need to stop around here because I will sing now. We have quiet kick to God. Now somebody said, Pastor, you are right. I pray for money too. But like you, I didn't get the money. I'll tell you the reason why. I'll tell you, you are limited to another life question. You know, a life question is this. But Lord, I pray for money. I didn't get the money. Now, usually I learn one lesson about money. God doesn't usually give money. You are the one to give money. You know, I talked about praying years ago for money. But I hardly pray for money anymore. I learned another lesson. That's the next life question. Can I ask you a question now? How many of you are praying for someone, you pray for money sometimes, money doesn't come. Can I see your hands up? If I don't see your hands up, something wrong with you. Everybody here. You pray for God, I claim this amount of money, in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you. My house rent, on that day come, he asked me to pack out. I said, God, I believe you, 24 hours, I believe you, and you are moved out. So, I came to see that that's not the way God operates. He doesn't give money. Because if he gives money from heaven, it will be counterfeit. CBN authorized to give money. Then I came to see that after learning in that desperation of God meeting my needs, I came to see that I must have a lifestyle. Any farmer that's begging God for harvest must plant seed. So, after a few years of praying for money, not getting money, not praying for money, not getting money, praying for money and not getting money, and I came to see that God only blesses harvest. He doesn't give like that. Have you noticed that every time you pray for bread, somebody has to plant the seed of wheat? Am I right? Somebody has to nurture it. Somebody has to take the thing and send it to Africa, and then we take it to bakery. So if you are trying to ask God for money, you may not get it. But you can start this one. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. Take a look. Verse 7. I round up with this. Choir, ready to sing. We'll continue next week. God willing. Hallelujah. Are we here? Life's questions. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Look at my sister here. I just told her about her story. You know, when you are looking for money and trying to get money, God wants you to put that energy to help somebody else. I said, no, Lord, no, no, Lord, no, Lord, me, I need first. He said, I want you to be a giver, not a giver for show. Not to go and open one building and then label it. Give. No, no, giving, like me, do give. Not grudgingly, of necessity. Many of us wait for people to ask us to give them. No, I learn now, I just wait to give to people. I just look to God to give to people. And I see miracles occurring. People still ask me, but I do more of being a giver. You see, my wife has a small farm behind us, but she's not a farmer. Sorry for exposing you. I helped her to do the farm. I knew that farm won't last. You have purple there. Coconut. When last were you there to till the ground? Let's leave that alone. I'm just joking. That's why I pull her legs. She forgive me anyway. You know, she's not a farmer. She just throws it. I'm a beautiful woman. That's what I'm saying. Put something over there. But a real farmer, that's her job. Hectares of land. Planting, 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 planting. God loves a cheerful giver. Now look at this verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have been all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance. And that's why that God doesn't want me to be praying about money all the time. He wants me to be giving and be a blessing to people. And then his grace will come upon me and make me to have all that I need and to give to others. So I shifted from just praying for money, praying for money, praying for money, and become a financial giver. Pastor, you become a millionaire? No. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Somebody needs something. I remember those days, somebody want to go and do exam. 1,500. I'll give them. Something. I'll do that thing now. See children, give them something. And I started becoming a giver like that. Wherever your level is, start doing that. As you are doing that, God is watching you. Not once in a while, become a steady giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I've listened to a story of somebody who told me recently. I told them sometimes ago. God asked him. He's been given. God asked him. He said, you see, that church building in your school, I want you to finance it. I want you to build it. So he called his friends. His friends said, no. Now watch. So he had only 2 million in his account. The building will cost about 40 million. That, you see, he has come to that level. Don't go to million now. That's where he is. Start from your own. Hundreds, thousands, kind of a thing. So he said, Lord, what do I do? Now, this is not a pastor. This is just a business person. He said, God said, let's start. And they began to build. And they began, not even the church building for their own church, somewhere else that God put in his hand. And they began to build. And began to go. Do you know what happened? Told me God opened a particular line of business for him. that began to bring money in. And he began to build. And he began to build. And he began to build. He said, one day, this is where I'm going. One day, there was no money. And he had 1 million saved somewhere. That is for emergency. That man for work on. He said, when he had to touch that money, he said, he just broke and tears. I said, Lord, I can't give my final. This is my emergency money. Then God asked him a question. Since you have been building, have you had any emergency? Whew. When it comes to money, it's more partnership than just commandments. So, he said, he took the money. That 1 million emergency. Turn it over to God. You know, second day, that line that opened for him, somebody called him and said, right now, I need this thing, right now. In the next how many minutes, my factory will stop if I don't have this from you. He said, I don't do that business anymore. Don't make any demand on me. He said, please help me. As he dropped the phone, the people that usually supply him, that line of business, the supplier, just called him. He was telling me, he said, look, as I dropped the phone, my phone, next phone, just next call, it was the supplier saying, we have some supply for you. He said, I don't need that. He said, we have some supply. Thank God, he's not dumb. He just connected. And you know what? He told me this. When I finish the church building, there are still 2 million left for me. The 2 million I started with. Now, let me tell you this. You know, this is what I like about the story. You know, I hear stories and I listen to them very well. He said he used to fly down for that project, So one day he saw that if God did supply money for this project, let me change from economy class to first class. He can pay for it too now. You see, you start living like that. That's how to do this. Can I close like this? Anytime you are asking God for money, he will check your account. Tu ba simbe dada. Awani angel market. Na lo wo die sha. Eba e lo need 50,000. Eba what 40 fun sha. Oh, e fun 50. Jesus mo dupe lowo e. Then into your account is debited. Are you going to keep on giving? Are you going to keep on living?
Hey, Pastor, you are asking money from church.
I'm not asking you for money from church. Bless people. Don't come and bless church. Bless people. Start from there. Are you hearing me now?
Pastor, I don't see anybody to bless.
Tell your neighbor, I'm available. Let's close there. Are you blessed today? Choir, come and sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have more questions to go through. We'll take that next week. God may God helping us. Let's do choir. Got a song? Thank you so much. Next week, we'll see what to do in a life crisis. To all of us, sometimes we have emergencies, crisis come in our life. What do we do? We'll see that next week. That's a big question. In crisis of life, what do we do? We have crisis too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray our offering as we sing so we can do that. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We bring our seed to you, our tithe and our offerings to you. We expect you as our God to take care of us. Thank you for doing so. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's give.